حضرت شبیر الوداع بابا زبر سروت بالله من الشيطان اللعين الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله الذي ليس لأوليته ابتداء ولا لأزليته انقضاء وانحسرت الأوصاف عن كنه معرفته وردعت عظمته العقول والذي لا تواري عنه سماء سماء ولا أرض أرضا ثم الصلاة والسلام والتحية والإكرام على سيد البتحاء سيد المرسلين والأنبياء أبي القاسم محمد المصطفى وعلى الجوهرة القدسية البتول العذراء سيدة النساء فاطمة الزهراء وعلى بعلها أمير المؤمنين وبنيها الذين أذهب الله عنهم الرجس وطهرهم تطهيرا لا سيما على بقية الله وحجته الكبرى الذي بيمنه رزق الورى وبوجوده ثبتت الأرض والسماء ولولاه لصاحت الأرض بأهلها واللعنة الدائمة على أعدائهم أجمعين من حين عداوتهم إلى قيام يوم الدين. أما بعد، فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى في كتابه الكريم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم إذا زلزلت الأرض زلزالها وأخرجت الأرض أثقالها وقال الإنسان ما لها يومئذ تحدث أخبارها صلوات The subject of tonight's speech is the shuhud and witnesses. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as a matter of fact, has assigned uncountable number of witnesses upon the human beings. And all those witnesses are registering every single thing that we are performing in the life of this dunya. It's the mercy of Allah for having provided us with all those witnesses, whereas His absolute knowledge and comprehensive knowledge and absolute wisdom, which is nothing but His essence, Ain of that, left no room that Allah would ever require. Allah doesn't need anything. Allah did not require any of the witnesses for making a judgment on the Day of Judgment in our favor or against us. But it's a mercy, subhanahu wa ta'ala, that despite the fact that His absolute knowledge and absolute wisdom encompasses everything without the witnesses, but He still has provided the witnesses. And so tomorrow, there is no room for anyone to say that this information is untrue against me. So, once the Holy Prophet recited this ayat of Holy Quran, which I recited in the beginning of my speech from Surah Az-Zilzal, once the Holy Prophet asked some of his companions, you know, in this way, in the light of these verses of Holy Quran, we understand the earth will be shaken up, and the human being would say, what has happened to the earth? قَالَ الْإِنسَانُ مَعْلَهَا. What happened to her? What happened to the earth? Earth is a feminine in Arabic. And يَوْمَئِذٍ تُحَدِّثُ أَخْبَارَهَا. On the Day of Judgment, the earth is going to inform about its news. So the Prophet asked once from some of his companions, do you know what are the news of the earth? And they said, Ya Rasulullah, Anta A'lam. You know better. So Prophet said, the earth will inform about everything that has been done on the surface of earth. Every action, good or bad, by every person ever done on the face of this planet, the earth itself will be informing about its news. Akhbaraha. So these are the news of the earth. And it has been, so earth, our scholars and mufassireen say that earth is an assigned agent on the behalf of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala among the countless assigned agents which are available around us. Every single particle in this universe is an assigned agent performing its assigned task. Whether we comprehend or understand what they are doing and why these things were created, or we fail to understand, that's our own ignorance. But everything is part of the army of God. لِلَّهِ جُنُودُ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ. For Allah belongs the armies of heavens and earth. Everything is part of His assigned task force. And doing His assigned task. Because we are talking about Alamut Takween, the world of existences. We are talking about Alamut Tashri', the world of legislature, do's and do nots, which we, the humans and the jinns, are the only two creatures which belong to the Alamut Tashri', the world of the legislatures. We are talking about Alamut Takween. Earth is not obliged on behalf of Allah to perform any, you know, duty of the Sharia. It doesn't belong to Alamut Tashri'. So, it's part of Alamut Takween, and there's zero disobedience in any existence that belongs to Alamut Takween. Let's be clear about this first. Whatever they are assigned, they will be consistently doing their assigned task without any slightest disobedience that can ever come in their way. Because that's Alamut Takween, that's the nature of Alamut Takween. And according to my teacher Ayatullah Jawadi Amuli Hafizahullah, the purpose of sending down the Sharia for the guidance of the humanity is to make this Alamut Tashri in sync and harmonious with the Alamut Takween. That's the reason why Allah sent down the Sharia for us. So that we also come out of the stage of challenging or denouncing or condemning or disassociating ourselves or basically questioning the legitimacy of the laws that Allah has sent upon His Messenger for our guidance. Instead of having this negative behavior, we learn how to obey. Once we receive the command from the Creator, we learn to obey. Just like the Alamut Takween, the world of existences around us is perfectly obedient. Without any ifs and buts, our intellect was sent, given to us to take us to the next level. That means to make us, the humans, submit voluntarily to the teachings of Wahi and Revelation. Because our aqal and intellect has zero access into the domain of Wahi and Revelation. If our aql and human intellect had any access to the world of revelation, again, there would have been no reason for Allah to send down any prophet, because we with our intellects, every human being has an intellect, we with our intellects would have understood all the knowledges of the unseeable world which Allah sends through the revelation upon the prophets.
They were going on their luggage and it would have become the entire Ba'athur Rusul, sending down of the messengers, and Zalul Kutub, sending down of the books would become purposeless and abas. Whereas Allah is Hakim and wise. He never performs any action which is abas and purposeless. So aql was given to us not to challenge the law of the creator of intellect in the name of intellectualism, because now I have grabbed a couple of degrees from such and such Western university, so now I am intelligent enough to challenge the law of the creator of intellect in the name of intellectualism like some are doing. Aql was never given for us to misuse it and abuse the aql. Aql was given to us to submit ourselves in front of something which is higher than aql. As soon as the aql comprehends that this is higher than my level, aql should have guided and was supposed to guide us to submit in front of wahi. There's a difference, brothers and sisters, between surrendering and submitting. You surrender when you are forced. Isn't that right? And you have no chance, you have no other option, and you have no reward either. If you surrender, you have no reward. Just like the kuffar would surrender on the day of judgment. They would surrender. Everybody would turn into a mu'min because the ghaib will turn into shuhud. The unseeable will then turn into a seeable world. In front of their eyes, they would start seeing the realities. The heaven, the hell, the angels, you know, all those things. There's no longer ghaib. So they would surrender in front of the qudrat and absolute power of Allah. So, but they don't deserve any reward then because they did not submit voluntarily. This is the beauty of aql. That's why aql was given to us, so if we learn how to submit. Just like alamut takmeen, the world of existences around us is submitting fully and perfectly and always in front of Allah's commands. So what I was saying to you, إِن مِّن شَيْءٍ إِلَّا يُصَبِّحُ بِحَمْدِهِ وَلَكِنْ لَا تَفْقَهُونَ تَسْبِيحَهُمْ. Quran says every single thing. In the light of this verse we understand, every single thing is doing the tasbih of Allah. وَلَكِنْ لَا تَفْقَهُونَ. But you guys don't understand تَسْبِيحَهُمْ, their tasbih. If just because we don't understand, it doesn't give us, a license to deny it. Because we don't understand, who are we to deny anything that God has created? What is our knowledge? What's the level of our knowledge? What we know is only part of what exists. Isn't that right? We don't even know all what exists. Not even close to that. So we don't have the right to challenge. Just because we fail to understand, as soon as our aql realizes, so everything is doing the tasbih of Allah. Every single thing. Can a dead thing do the tasbih of Allah? Let me ask this question to you. Can a dead thing do the tasbih of Allah? Of course not. It requires a lot of a certain stage of life to be present in every existence. A certain kind of life to be available in every existence. For the existence to be able to do tasbih and glorify Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Isn't that right? So that's the reason our urafa don't even pick up one leaf of a tree and break apart one leaf of a tree without a reason. Why are you depriving one existence from doing the tasbih of Allah? So we don't need to learn nothing from any so-called civilizations, because everything has been already taught by Amir al-Mu'mineen wa Imam al-Muttaqeen Ali ibn Abi Talib alayhi salatu wasalam for us. Everything has already been taught by Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam for us. They need to learn everything from us. We have no vacuum. Those who have vacuum in their spirituality will always find somebody filling their vacuums. That's their problem. But those who follow the path of Ahlul Bayt will never feel any vacuum in their spirituality and never will have any, you know, any need to learn anything from any civilization, so-called civilizations, because we believe in what is the best of all the civilizations. So what I was saying is that there's no room for us to learn any animal rights or any rights of the plantations or any other human rights or women's rights or whatever from anybody, because Islam has the best of the rights of everything told to us. higher than what anybody could even comprehend, has been told to us. You can turn to Sahib al-Jawahir, you know, the book of Jawahir al-Kalam, written by Sheikh Hassan Najafi, rahmatullah alayh, one of our all-time greatest mujtahideen, which right now serves as an encyclopedia of Islamic jurisprudence. And you would never find any religion having 56 volumes of laws of jurisprudence in their religion, like we do. It is the greatest book and a masterpiece. So you can turn to Jawahir al-Kalam and you find any mas'ala, any issue of our fiqh available there. And you find the whole volume has been specified about the animal rights. So we don't need to learn nothing from nobody. Everybody needs to learn everything from the Prophet and Ahlul Bayt alayhim as-salam. So what I was saying to you, brothers and sisters, that this world is an assigned agent just like other uncountable existences in the alam al-takween, in the world of existences around us, which are assigned agents on behalf of Allah doing their assigned task without any slightest disobedience ever. Because this, they don't belong to alam al-tashri. They are given freedoms and neither are they rewarded for their obediences because they are not put to test. They are part of the world of legislature, alam al-tashri. We are put to the world of to test, and we belong to alam al-tashri, the world of legislatures, world of do's and do-nots, and we have been given the freedom to choose the right from the wrong, and haq from the batil, and truth from the falsehood, and good from the evil, and khair from the shar. And that's why if we choose the good and haq and khair, and you know what is right and true, we deserve to be rewarded. Actually, we don't deserve to be rewarded. Because my teacher, Ayatollah Sheikh Jawad Tabrizi, rahmatullah alayh, he used to say, you know, that in his that's Kharij, probably, that it's Allah is not obliged to give us no reward. Why can we? Nobody can oblige Allah for anything. If I pray, why should Allah give me the reward? Is Allah benefiting from my prayers? Allahu samad. Ya ayyuhal nasu antumul faqara'u ila Allah wa Allahu huwa al-ghani. Oh, you the humans, you are the needy towards Allah. Allah is the rich. The only rich is Allah, actually. Allah doesn't stand in need of nobody. He doesn't stand in need of my prayers or fasting. If I pray, he gets a benefit. If I don't, he fails to get the benefit. No. He doesn't stand in nobody. Even if the whole universe denies the presence of Allah, he will continue to be the omnipotent, sovereign, ruler, creator, lord of the whole universe. It doesn't require our acceptance or denial. So, nobody can benefit God, nobody can harm God. That's our belief, isn't that right? So when Allah is such, and everything that He taught us in the Alam al-Tashri to do is actually for our own benefit, if we realize, then why would we be obliged to give us any reward for something that we are benefiting, He's not benefiting? But then my teacher said, Allah will certainly give us the reward. Despite the fact that nobody can oblige him to give any reward. Nobody can oblige him for doing anything. For anybody. But he is still going to give us the rewards. Why? Because he has promised us that he will give the rewards. Allah does not breach his promise. Because of the fact he never breaches the promises, he will certainly give us the rewards. If he had not promised us, there is no reason why Allah should give me any reward for something that I am benefiting, not him. So, what I was saying to you, brothers and sisters, is that everything is an assigned agent on behalf of Allah, and doing its assigned task, and all the things of the world of taqween, alam al-taqween, the world of taqween and existence, are perfectly obedient without any disobedience, ever. But the humans, our jinns, have been given a little bit of freedom only, and look at what the humans have done throughout the history because of that little bit of freedom that we have been given. So, earth is the first assigned agent and shahid and witness over every action performed on its surface, and shall bear witness and inform its news in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in front of those people who did what they did on the Day of Judgment. Earth shall bear witness.
So we find that Imam Ali alayhi salam we find that it was the tradition of Imam Sajjad alayhi salam, whenever he used to go out to pray in the night, he used to pray beneath different palm trees instead of praying at one specific place. This is part of the Islamic adab and etiquettes. There are some people, when they go to the masjid, they have one specific place. They always pray on that specific place. And if somebody else comes on their place ahead of time, they even feel bad. As if it's their place, although nobody can own anything of any masjid, because every masjid in al-masajid lillah. Every masjid belongs to Allah. All the masajid belong to Allah. We cannot own the masjid. The malik and owner is Allah. So it's unlike our personal properties. It's not a personal property of anybody. Islam is not asking us and not promoting us to pray on one specific place only throughout our life. Instead, the seerat of Ahlul Bayt is on the contrary. It's exactly the opposite. Where they used to pray on different locations intentionally. So when somebody asked Imam Sajjad and Islam, why don't you just pray two rakats here beneath this palm tree, then you go there beneath that palm tree, then two rakats somewhere. Why don't you just pray all your prayers beneath one palm tree and that's it? He said, because I want to that those trees shall bear witness on the day of judgment that Ali ibn Hussein has prayed under us. So there are several witnesses available to support the Imam Sajjad alayhi salam on the day of judgment. So if you pray on different spots of the masjid, you have different spots of those earth bearing witness in your favor on the day of judgment. You have so many witnesses standing behind you to support you. Everything of Islam has wisdom. So earth is an assigned agent on behalf of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we find that in the light of the hadith, we understand that when the janazah and corpse of a kafir person is taken into the graveyard, every spot of the graveyard starts speaking, don't bury him here, don't bury him inside me, don't bury him here, don't bury him here. Every part of the graveyard is speaking, don't bring him here into me. Because when he used to walk over me, I was angry at him. And if you bury him inside me, I am going to punish him. Every part of the graveyard is speaking. Again, we don't understand, we don't hear those voices for the same reason, for the hijabat and curtains of sins that we have over our eyes blocking the vision to see the batin and malakut as-samawati wal-arz. So we are able to see the batin. Every zahir has a batin. We fail to see the batin because we are stuck with the zahir and apparent existences, and we don't understand and we don't see the hidden realities behind those apparent existences. There are lots and lots of hidden realities around us which we don't see. Lots of voices being able to be heard. Lots of people being moving around. Angels moving around. You know, lots of things going on, 24/7, 365, but we don't have no clue about it. Because we ourselves have been living in this cocoon that we have built for ourselves, and we are tied up with the sins. We are seized and captured by our sins and blockaded by our sins to block our vision to see the batin that the Prophet in Ahlul Bayt used to see 24/7, 365. That's one of the reasons maybe why they were unable to tolerate the sins of the people. Whenever people used to come up in front of the Prophet or Ahlul Bayt, they always used to talk about grave, mort, death, day of judgment, hisab, accountability. Isn't that right? Because they could not tolerate. They see the heaven and the hell 24/7, 365. We don't. So Quran has already said, you know, إِنَّ الَّذِينَ يَأْكُلُونَ أَمْوَالَ الْيَتَامَ ظُلْمًا إِنَّمَا يَأْكُلُونَ فِي بُطُونِهِمْ نَارًا. Those people who eat up the money of orphans out of zulm, injustice, they are eating fire. Do we see it in the form of fire? No. Those are the people who are consuming the monies of orphans out of zulm and oppression. Let's suppose a person goes and buys from this usurped money, buys a piece of bread and he is consuming this loaf of bread, Quran says this loaf of bread is actually fire. Do we see it in the form of fire? Is Quran lying? Na'udhu billah. God forbid. No. Is Quran a book of metaphor, not a book of haqiqat and reality? No. Quran is not a book of metaphor. Quran is a book of reality. وَمَا هُوَ بِالْحَزْلِ. There is no joke in Quran. There is no joke permitted in the Holy Quran. It's about reality. It's a serious matter. So everything of Quran is nothing but reality. So we find lots of people don't know the reality. So we find that this loaf of bread is fire. If the guy knew that he's consuming, why would he consume it? But nobody likes to get burnt if we see the fire. But why we don't see the fire? If Imam Mahdi al-Islam was present here and as somebody is consuming this piece of fire, Iran would see it in the form of fire, how the Quran has said. But we don't see it because of those hijabat and curtains of sins. Even if some of our great, we have to talk of the Ahlul Bayt who are the greatest, even if some of our urafa are present who do not have the curtains in front of their eyes, they can also see it in the form of its reality. Ayatullah Uzma Sayyid Jamaluddin Gulpaygani, rahmatullah alayhi, one of our very great urafa of the history, he went to the haram of Imam Ali al-Islam and requested, Ya Amir al-Amin, please take away this vision from my eyes. I can no longer tolerate the people to see their souls in the real faces. Enough is enough. You go to your house, you find animals sitting inside your house, you go meet your friends, you go to your business, workplace, you find different animals, just like what Imam Sajjad showed, the guy who was rotating around Kaaba. Isn't that right? You must have heard this very famous story, you know? And he said, you know, ma akthar al hajij wa aqall al wajij. There are so many hajis available and very less noise coming from such a huge crowd. And Imam Sajjad al Islam had said exactly the opposite. Ma akthar al wajij wa aqall al hajij. There were a lot of noise, but very less hajis. And the guy was shocked. What are you saying, Yabna Rasulullah? Can somebody deny what you can see with your eyes? He's seen the people rotating around Kaaba. And Imam Sajjad is saying what is contrary to his statement. Can you deny that you can you have what is visible in your eyes? Yes, you can deny. In Islam, you can deny. Because what you see is limited to the zahir, apparent existences. You don't see the batin. And because you don't see the hidden reality, you don't have the right to challenge either. Then Imam asked him to see between his two fingers, and then he saw pigs and wolves and foxes and different animals rotating. There were very few humans. So Ayatullah Uzma Sayyid Jamaluddin Gulpaygani rahmatullah alayhi went into the haram of Imam Ali to ask him to please take away this vision. We have great urafa who have this vision. People are scared to go in front of an arif mujtahid because it's just like exposing yourself inside out. So what I am saying, brothers and sisters, is that this earth is an assigned agent, and whenever a kafir person is taken to the graveyard, every part of the graveyard speaks, don't bury him inside me. And when a mu'min person is taken to the graveyard, every part, every segment of the graveyard speaks up and says, bury him here, bury him here, bury him here. Because when he used to walk over me, I was pleased with him. And, you know, when he's buried into the graveyard, the earth expands for him in a maddil basar, till the range of your vision, as far as you could see, his grave is so expanded and vast because of his iman and taqwa. In the time of Imam Sadiq alayhi salam, a woman was taken to the graveyard, and when they tried to bury that woman, it has been narrated, when they tried to bury that woman, the earth threw her out again. Did not accept the janazah, the corpse, to be buried inside. They tried to do her relatives tried to bury her again, the earth threw the janazah out again. It was an embarrassment for those relatives and for those of the people of the community present. So they had no other option. They finally came to Imam Sadiq to inquire what's the matter. And Imam said, What did she used to do that the earth is behaving like that with her? And they replied, Ya Ibn Rasulullah, she used to commit zina and then kill the babies that were being born. So Al-Zari said, why would the earth accept her after such a crime? They said, Ya Ibn Rasulullah, please do something, because it's a matter of our honor and dignity in front of the community. We will be insulted. Imam said, bury some turbat of Imam Hussein along with her and earth will accept it. Can you imagine the highness of the turbat of Imam Hussein alayhi salam? That is the only turbat, in the Islamic Sharia which is not haram to eat, but it is mustahab to be given to any newborn baby. Because Imam Baqir alayhi salam has said in his hadith that حَلِّكُوا أَوْلَادَكُمْ بِتُرْبَةِ الْحُسَيْنِ وَمَاءِ الْفُرَاتِ تحنيك in Arabic means that you take a little bit of the turbat and dip it into, you know, and then in the ma'il furat, what we do is that we dip it into the water of furat and then we make the newborn baby taste a little bit of it. The first thing that the baby should eat should be the turbat of Imam Hussein al-Islam. It is okay to be given to a Mariz, a sick person, because ash-shifa'u fi turbatihi, there is a shifa and cure that Allah has awarded into the turbat of Imam Hussein alayhi salam. The fatwa of Imam Khomeini was, it is haram to put the turbat of Imam Hussein in your lower pocket next to your private parts, because this is an insult to the turbat of Imam Hussein. This is not an ordinary turbat. You know, this soil is the soil which the hadith informs us, when the tufan and storm came in the time of Hazrat Nuh alayhi salam, Allah raised two pieces of soil from this planet. One was the land where the Kaaba is located, other was the land of Karbala, where is the Haram of Imam Hussain alayhi salam. These two soils were raised up and never allowed for the storm to wet these two soils. So we need to respect. It's not allowed to eat the khak of Imam Ridha alayhi salam al-haram. May our souls be sacrificed for Imam Ridha alayhi salam. But the Sharia does not allow us to eat that. It's not allowed for anybody to eat the soil of the haram of Imam Ali alayhi salam. May our souls be sacrificed for him. But the Sharia doesn't allow us to eat that. But this is the only soil which is allowed to eat, and in some cases it is in mustahab. So Imam said to him that bury some of the turbat of Imam Hussein with her. And they did the same. And the earth is an assigned agent on behalf of Allah. Earth accepted it. Earth accepted it. So, first agent, first shahid, first witness over our amal, even though there is no video recorder or video taping system available or camera, you know, but the earth itself is doing the assigned task 24/7, 365. Whether you are awake or you are sleeping, wherever you may be, the earth is doing its assigned task without any disobedience, because it belongs to Alimut Takween. The second assigned agent is the time. Seconds, minutes, hours, days and night, months and years. These are assigned agents on behalf of Allah, and they are doing their assigned task. Every single moment itself is an assigned agent on Allah's behalf and is registering our action that was done in that time frame. Again, whether we can understand and comprehend it or not, that's our ignorance. Let's not blame our ignorance on the realities. The realities will continue to be the same whether we understand it or we don't. The realities are not left up to the mercy of the humans accepting it or not accepting it. Reality will be the way they are. So, in the month, in one of the du'as of the month of Ramadan, we actually address the month of Ramadan itself. Be a witness. Addressing the month, not Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In some of the du'as, we address the month of Ramadan itself. Be a witness that I did honor you and I fasted in you. Isn't that right? And the hadith, in the light of the hadith, we understand that whenever a day comes, it addresses the humankind. The day itself addresses the humankind. Yabna Adam, ana yawmun jadeed. I am a new day. Wa ana alayka shaheed. And I am a witness over you. So do good through me.
and do good in me. Because once I pass by, I'm not going to come back again. وَكَذَلَكَ يَقُولُ اللَّيْلِ إِذَا أَدْبَرَ النَّهَارِ. Similarly, the night says, when the day turns back, turns away. Night says the same to us, the humankind. Again, we don't listen to those voices. Prophet was listening to that voice every day and every night. Imams were listening to those voices. Then they have already informed us. And we thank Allah and the Imams for informing us about this beautiful bit of information and all the rest of the information that they provided for their guidance. But we have no other way. No, zero access to the Alam al-Ghaib. The first thing that the people of paradise would say after they would settle inside the paradise on the Day of Judgment, they would say, Alhamdulillahi alladhi hadana lihada. وَمَا كُنَّ لِنَهْتَدِيَ لَوْلَا أَنْ هَدَانَ اللَّهِ. All praise belongs to Allah who guided us for this. And we would not have been guided had it not for been for Allah to guide us. We have no way, no access to the Alam al-Ghaib, any teaching that benefits of a soul. No human can tell you, no university can tell you that. We need the prophets, no matter how much, you know, qualified, academically qualified we may be. So, what I was saying is that the time, the days and the nights are all witnesses over our actions. That's the witness number two, time. Witness number three, the usurped items. Khyanat shuda amwal. All those items and things and commodities that people take away from others and do not return back to their owners. All the usurped items. Look at the beautiful arrangement of Allah. He is our creator. He knows us best how to deal with us. No one can outsmart Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So, in the light of different ahadith, we understand that a person who has usurped any item from anybody, let's suppose I borrow money from you. So, earlier I used to call you and every, you know, maybe several times every day. And then now that I got money from you, let's suppose, and I don't pay it back to you. Now, you are calling me almost every day, then I change my number. So if that's the case, that the person usurps the money of somebody, we cannot escape from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. لَا يُمْكِنُ الْفِرَارُ مِنْ حُكُومَتِكَ. Dua Kumail has informed us. So now what's going to happen? Every usurped item will be A. Either hanging into the neck of the person when he would be resurrected on the Day of Judgment, or found over his back. One of the two ways. That's the way we'll be treated. So, my teacher, again, Ayatullah Jawadi Amuli Hafizahullah, in his tafsir was saying, there is no room for anybody to ask on the Day of Judgment what a person has done. There is room for what? Because the what is, this segment is already visible. Just look at the person and you would know whether he's a good deal or a criminal. Because if he's a criminal, his face, his appearance, his form, his the things that he has with him will show you who he is, his own profile. When you find all those usurped items hanging in the neck of a person, does it still require any explanation? Prophet has said, مَنْ أَخَذَ أَرْضًا بِغَيْرِ حَقٍ كُلِّفَ أَنْ يَحْمِلَ تُرَابَهَا إِلَى الْمَحْشَرِ. Whosoever usurps a land without haqq, without right, without his right, he will be obliged to carry that piece of soil over himself on the Day of Judgment till the day, to the maidan and the field where people will be resurrected. You sell out your faith for the sake of this 1 acre of land from your real sister? Fine, you have to carry the whole soil of this 1 acre of land over your back all the way till the field and maidan of Mahshar. So guy will be carrying the whole soil. Even the hadith says, even if a person usurped the camel from a person, when he will be resurrected, he will find the camel over his back. So there is no room for anybody to ask, what has this person done? Because what is already clear from his form and appearance. فَيَوْمَئِذٍ لَا يُسْأَلُ عَنْ ذَنْبِهِ. Surah Al-Rahman says, on that day, nobody will be asked about his sin. لَا يُسْأَلُ عَنْ ذَنْبِهِ. إِنْسٌ وَلَا جَانٌ. Neither a human nor a jinn.
There's no room for what? What they would be asked, why did you do that? There's a room for that. But there's no room for anybody to ask what you have done, what is visible from your appearance. So if anybody usurps any land, if anybody usurps any soil, so it's our responsibility. We thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for providing us with these glorious teachings, when Imam Khomeini radhiyallahu anhu announced the Day of Quds, on the last Friday of the month of Ramadan. So we find some people taking caravans to the Zionist state, isn't that right? Isn't the fatwa of every mujtahid say, doesn't the fatwa say that it's haram to put your step on the usurped land? This is the ABC of the Shariat of Imam Sadiq alayhi salam. But it's surprising to find some people taking caravans. Even if you step on the airport, you are stepping on the houses of so many, demolished houses of so many human beings without their permission. Do you think your prayers are accepted on the usurped land? What has happened to the mind of some people? I really don't understand. This is the ABC of Islam. Even Sharia says that if you are standing in a place and doing wudu, all that diameter where your sprinklets, droplets of water are falling down while you are doing wudu, all that diameter has to be mubah for you. That means the owner must have permitted for you to use that much land where you are dropping the drops from your wudu. Because this is a kind of usage of that land. Even your wudu is batil. So, today it's Bayt al-Muqaddas, and tomorrow it's Karbala, it's Najaf, Nile to Euphrates. There is one man on earth who raised his voice. We would have been quiet probably, because we were quiet over Bayt al-Muqaddas. Isn't that right? So tomorrow, it's a public information, tomorrow it would be the greater Israel from Nile to Euphrates, to Karbala and Najaf. And we would have been quiet even over that. Isn't that right? And Medina, because Ali took Medina from us in Khaybar. That's been taught in the houses by some. Islam is a religion of peace, brothers and sisters. We believe in peace. We don't believe in violence. We don't preach hatred. We preach love. Prophet spread Islam with his morality. But we are the victims of the worst of the terrorisms, and worst of the crimes are done against us. And we have every legal and constitutional and international right to say, stop doing the crime against us. That's not illegal. We thank Ayatollah Sistani, because whosoever doesn't thank the makhluk, the creature, did not thank Allah. Isn't that right? Man lam yashkur al-makhluk, lam yashkur al-kharik. We thank Ayatollah Sistani and Salahatul Wali al-Faqih, our leader, for informing us about our duties. Look at what that statement he issued about the massacre of Gaza. Look at how the goalpost are doing. There is no fault on their behalf. They are fulfilling their responsibility towards Imam Mahdi al-Islam very well. Alhamdulillah. What is required is obedience from our side. Awareness from our side. Not to separate religion from politics. And be aware of our responsibility. Because if we stay silent, tomorrow is Najaf till Karbala, Nile to Euphrates. What sort of iman is this, if I think, I'm praying and fasting, that's it? Is that enough? In the time of Rasulullah, a guy was praying. Prophet called him, he did not come to the Prophet. Prophet called him again. He still didn't come. It happened several times. Finally, when he was done with the prayers and he came to Rasulullah, Prophet said, why didn't you show up when I was calling you? How silly are some people who still did not understand that in the religion Islam there are so many duties which are more important than the prayers. Responding to the call of the Imam of your time and Wali and Mawla of your time. Prophet is a Rasul and a Wali and Mawla both. Let's remember, he said, فَمَنْ كُنْتَ مَوْلَاهُ فَهَذَا عَلِيٌ مَهُمْ سُوَهَا I am the Mawla and Master and Hakim and Ruler. Ali is also his Hakim and Ruler. Prophet is also a Mawla. Hakim, ruler, wali. Isn't that right? And that's the position of Imamat and Walayat is more superior in Islam, the Isna Ashari Islam, than the position and mansab of Risalat.
And that's the reason our 12 Imams are superior than all the rest of the prophets other than the Holy Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam.
So we find Prophet called the guy, he didn't reply back. He said, Ya Rasulullah, I was praying. Prophet said, who taught you to pray?
The same Prophet taught him to pray. People don't understand. Responding to the call of the Imam and Wali of your time is more important. Break your prayers and come to the Prophet. The Wali is calling you.
They are silly. They just understood part of Islam and think that's it. That's how some people are.
There are lots of things in the Sharia which are aham, more important than, you know, the prayers, which is the pillar of the religion. But still, you, every Marishtari has given the fatwa, if you enter into a mosque and you find the wall of the mosque is najis, ask any mujtahid on the planet.
It's haram to start your prayers. And it's wajib to wash the masjid first and then you start your prayers.
So takhir of the masjid, cleaning the masjid Islamically, is more wajib than starting your prayers. There are lots of things in Islam which are more important than the prayers. If you are praying, somebody is dying, drowning in the sea, and you can save his life. What does Islam say? It's wajib to break your prayers. Save a human life. Isn't that right? There's so many things which are more important than the prayers, but people don't understand. So once Prophet Musa asked, once Allah asked Prophet Musa, Hal amilta li amalan khalisan? Did you do any sincere act for me? Khalis, pure act for me? Hazrat Musa replied to Allah, Rabbi sallaitu laka, wa sumtu laka, I prayed for you, I fasted for you, wa sabbahtu laka, wa halaltu laka, I did tasbih and tahleel for you. Allah replied, As-salatu laka jawazun ala sirat. That means, in other words, as far as the prayers are concerned, they are your own license for you to be able to cross the bridge of Sirat on the Day of Judgment. The bridge of Sirat. It's nothing to do with Allah. You yourself will be then eligible to cross the bridge of Sirat because you prayed. As-sawmu laka jannatun min an-nar. Your fasting is the shield that will shield away the flames of fire away from you. Again, what benefit is there for Allah? And at-tasbih wa-tahleel laka darajatun fil jannah. Your tasbih and tahleel are your own levels, your levels in the paradise. Prophet Musa, when he heard this reply from Allah, he cried. And he said, Rabbi dullani ala amalin khalisin laka. Oh my Lord, inform me, guide me about what action is considered by you to be purely for you. What action is purely for you? And then Allah said, Hal akramta aliman? Did you respect a scholar? Hal sakaita atshalan? Did you provide water to a thirsty? Hal kasauta uryanan? Did you provide clothes to somebody who didn't have clothes to wear? Hal nasarta mazluman? Did you ever help a mazlum, an oppressed person? And let's be very clear that all these things that Allah mentioned to Prophet Musa in his wahi are all social and political duties of Islam. If you support a Muslim person, it's a political duty, isn't that right? If you provide food or clothing to a person, some person who doesn't have it, it's a social obligation of Islam. Isn't that right? Respecting a scholar is a social obligation of Islam. So, we must understand, brothers and sisters, that there are lots of duties in Islam which are more important than our prayers. So, in Islam, anybody who usurps any item from anybody, he will be on the Day of Judgment when he would be resurrected, that item will be either hanging on his neck or riding over his back. And everybody can understand by looking at this person what is his status. So, usurped items themselves are made a witness by Allah against us. Fine, you usurp the same item will be serving as a witness against you. Go ahead, do it. Nobody can escape from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then we find the angels. Now it's the turn of angels. You know, Kiram and Katibin,
those who are assigned over us. And even the hadith informs us that the angel on the right hand side who writes the good deeds is the imam and is the leader of among these two angels, because the one is the minimum two angels. The one on the left side is the one who write the bad deeds. So even Allah is not ready to leave two of the angels without one being made as an imam. How would Allah leave the entire humanity without an imam? Then Allah is not even ready to leave two angels without one leader among those two. And how would Imam Mahdi al-Salam leave this entire ummah in the time of Ghaybat without Jamal al-Sharaiq Mujtahid, who's the leader? That's against the principles of Sharia, of Islam, Sharia religion. We always have a Jamal al-Sharaiq Mujtahid who is leading us. Whether we followed or we didn't, that's a different story. So there are angels assigned, and whenever a person commits a sin, the hadith informs us, اُجِّلَتْ تِسْعَ سَاعَاتِ. Look at the mercy of Allah. The person has been given the time frame of 9 hours. For 9 hours, your sin is not written. We have the muhlat and margin given for 9 hours. If you do the tawbah within the first 9 hours, the sin is not written. When the time expires, you know, the angel says, how less is the haya of this person. In other words, he had been given the margin of 9 hours to repent, and his sin was not written soon after he did the sin. But he still did not realize the mercy of Allah, and he still did not repent. And finally, it would be written. So, and again, the mercy of Allah is that every day of our life, he's sending different angels. The two angels are never ever repeated. Every day of our life, Allah is sending different angels. He has no shortage of angels. Maybe one of the wisdoms behind that is that Allah doesn't want us to be embarrassed between in front of those same angels who witnessed my sins yesterday. Let's suppose Allah doesn't want me to feel embarrassed in front of the same angels tomorrow. He's sending two different angels on the next day, so the next angels don't know nothing about my sins. Look at the mercy of Allah. And the hadith of the Prophet says, يُلْسِي مَلَكَيْهِ مَا كَتَبَا عَلَيْهِ مِنْ ذُنُوبِ. Allah makes the angel forget. Allah makes the two angels forget what they have written, the sins that they have written about that, you know, from the person. If we do the tawbah, the angels are masoom. Masoom, I already told in one of my earlier speeches, masoomin don't have nisyan. The infallibles never forget. They cannot forget. Angels cannot forget anything. So, we did the tawbah, the two angels already left away. They don't know whether I did the tawbah or not. Look at the beautiful arrangement of Allah. Nobody has more qudrat and power than Allah. Despite the fact that infallible angels do not forget anything, but they are not superior than the qudrat and power of Allah. Allah's qudrat and power is supreme. Allah with His power and qudrat makes the two angels forget my sins, so that I don't get embarrassed on the Day of Judgment in front of those two angels. So, look at the arrangement of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, alhamdulillah. And, so the angels are the assigned angels, they are writing every single thing that we do and they never miss out. But, there are certain things which the angels, which Allah blocks from the angels. You know, وَكُنْتَ أَنْتَ دُعَى كُمَال. We read, وَكُنْتَ أَنْتَ الرَّقِيبَ عَلَيَّ مِنْ وَرَائِهِمْ وَالشَّاهِدَ لِمَا خَفِيَ عَنْهُمْ وَبِلُطْفِكَ أَخْفَيْتَ. And you were the raqib and muraqib and supervisor over the angels. وَكُنْتَ أَنْتَ الرَّقِيبَ عَلَيَّ مِنْ وَرَائِهِمْ. Behind the angels, you were the supervisor. We are addressing to Allah in Dua Kamal. وَالشَّاهِدَ لِمَا خَفِيَ عَنْهُمْ. And you are the witness over what remained hidden from them, from the angels. وَبِلُطْفِكَ أَخْفَيْتَ. And you hid that thing out of your lutf and mercy. So there are certain things which Allah even hides from the angels. Because we deserve that behavior. But we should be ready for at least doing the tawbah. So, our angels are the assigned agents. And then coming to the animals. And I'm coming close to the end of my speech. Animals. All the animals who are present, brothers and sisters, at the time when a person, a human being, is doing a sin. A fish, an insect,
a fly, a bird, or any other animal which was present at that time when a human was doing a sin, that animal will be resurrected on the day of judgment to bear witness against that human being, because animals are also assigned agents on Allah's behalf belonging to Alam al-Takween. So Quran has informed us, وَإِذَا الْوُحُوشُ حُشِرَتْ. So we understand in the light of this verse, some of the animals will be حُشِرَتْ, will be resurrected. وَإِذَا الْوُحُوشُ حُشِرَتْ. And the riwayat says, in the tafsir, under the tafsir of this verse of Holy Quran, the riwayat informs us that this animal will be resurrected on the Day of Judgment, and as soon as this animal who was a witness over the sin of a human will be resurrected, the first thing that he would do on the Day of Judgment, the animal will bow down and prostrate and do the sajda. And the angel of Allah will say, this is not the time of sajda, this is the time of bearing witness. The animal will reply to the angel, I am doing sajda so that I can thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that he did not create me a human being, so that my destiny would be like the destiny of this guy. And then the narration says, that person would say, I wish Allah did not create me a human, he created me an animal, so that I should not end up having this kind of end. So, وَإِذَا الْوُحُوشُ حُشِرَتْ. Animals are assigned agents on Allah's behalf. If there's a fly, if there's a fish, if there's an animal, if there's an insect available around you, make sure that insect is a witness on Allah's behalf. Nothing is allowed. So that's what our Urafa say. How can we do a sin when we see every single thing is watching us with its eyes wide open? Every particle around us is watching us with its eyes wide open. How can we do a sin with all those people, all those things watching us? If there's a person in front of, even if there's a child in front of me, I don't change my clothes in front of a child. Isn't that right? Because I will feel, I may become embarrassed. The child may tell it to an elderly person and I would be embarrassed. So I don't even change my clothes in front of, what to talk of doing a wrong thing, a sin. So it's the matter of the vision, the world view, is the Prophet in Ahlul Bayt has given us. If we have the correct divine worldview, our behaviors will change for good, forever. The problem is that some people don't have the real worldview belonging to the pure Islam. Islam is Muhammadiyya Asil. So, how the Imam Rizwanullah Alayhi used to say. So we find that animals are also witness. And above all, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala himself is the witness. And the Prophet, like I mentioned in my last night speech, Prophet and Ahlul Bayt are the witness. Imam Mahdi is the commander-in-chief, the witness over all of our actions. And Prophet was a witness even at that time when Karbala was taking place. Everything was under his watch. He was witnessing. They're all shaheed. They did not die. Shaheed never dies. Imams were all witnesses. Tainur was the first creature created by Allah. Hazrat Zahra salamullah alayha was a witness. Imam Ali alayhi salam was a witness. They all saw. Look at the narration that when Hazrat Salama, Ummul Mumin, Hazrat Salama salamullah alayha was sleeping at the Asr of Ashura and in Medina, and all of a sudden she saw her dream. The Prophet came into her dream, and Prophet was crying, and he didn't have amama over his head, and there was the khak and turbat and soil of Karbala, soil over the head of Rasulullah, and Prophet was so worried and crying, and Hazrat Salma asked the very Prophet, Ya Rasulullah, what's the matter? Why do I see you in this form? And the Prophet replied, you are sleeping. My Hussein got killed in Karbala. I was watching. I was seeing the Hussein was there in Karbala. You know what the Ummah was doing with Imam Hussein? That's what Prophet told Salma on that occasion. Prophet was watching, and Salma woke up the Abu Umm Salama ki jab aap khuli, you know, Prophet gave her the Turbat of Karbala out of a miracle, and she had put it into a bottle. As long as this Turbat remains the Turbat, you can understand that Hussein is alive. But as soon as the Turbat converts into blood, you can understand that Hussein became Shaheed. Hazrat Umm Salama woke up and she rushed towards that Turbat, towards that bottle where she kept the Turbat of Imam Hussein, and she found that Turbat was now in the form of blood. She understood that Imam Hussein had been killed. You know, and this ye kitna azim imtihan hai azadayo mere maula ka aur paighambar akram ka aur jinab e zahra ka, kitna azim imtihan hai ki wo apni nigahon ke samne ye sab kuch dekh rahe hain ki ummat e muslima jinke upar mawaddat e ahle bait ko wajib qarar diya gaya tha, mohabbat e ahle bait, mawaddat e ahle bait lazim o wajib qarar di gayi thi, us ummat ne rasool ke nawasen ke sath kya sulook barta. Agar mere maula imam sajjad farmate hain, agar hamare sath mawaddat ke bajaye dushmani ka hukm diya ho gaya hota to isse badtar kuch nahi kiya ja sakta tha. Kitna badtar sulook kiya gaya. Yaqinan jab ye luta hua qafla, azadaro jab luta hua qafla wapas aata hai, to sham se rihai ke baad, zindane sham se rihai ke baad, karbala ki samt rawan dawa hai, kyunki ziyarat karni hai mere maula ki. Pehle shahzadi zainab ko, imam sajjad ko, imam husain ki ziyarat karni hai, lihaza karbala ka rukh kiya. Jabir ibn Abdullah ansari pehle se maujood hai jo maula imam husain ki ziyarat ke liye aaye hue hai. Jabir ko to khabar nahi thi qabr ki, ab jo imam sajjad pahunche hai to ab sari cheezon ko imam ke ilm se jabir ne pata kar liya, kahan kahan mere maula ki qabr hai, kahan kya waqia pesh aaya hai. Yahan tak ke jab biwiyan aana chahti hai to ab tamam ashab ko hata diya gaya, kyunki shahzadi zainab aa rahi hai, ab ali ki beti aa rahi hai, ab shahzadi umm kulsoom aa rahi hai. Ab azadaro jab ye luta hua qafla kab qubur ke paas pahunchta hai, shahzadi zainab ne apne aap ko imam husain ki qabr pe gira liya, अपने को इमाम हुसैन की कब्र पे गिरा लिया. गिरिया है बुका शुरू की, मेरा दिल सोचता है कि यकीनन शहजादी जैनब को वो सारा वाकया करबला का याद आया होगा, किस तरीके से मेरे मौला शहजादी के साथ इमाम सज्जाद के खेमे में आए थे वहां, और इमाम सज्जाद को जब गश से जगाया गया था तो मौला ने पूछना शुरू किया एक एक सहाबी के बारे में. बनी हाशिम के ने भी पूछना शुरू किया, मौला जवाब देते जाते थे कद कुतला, वो मारे गए. मगर जब मेरे मौला इमाम सज्जाद ने अली अकबर के बारे में पूछा तो रिवायत में है कि इमाम हुसैन ने ये नहीं कहा कि कद कुतला, न जाने इमाम हुसैन के दिल पे क्या गुजरी होगी अली अकबर की शहादत की, जवान बेटे की शहादत की. मौला ने कहा बस ये समझ लो कि मौदे में मेरे और तुम्हारे अलावा कोई नहीं बचा. मेरा दिल सोचता है यकीनन शहजादी जैनब को वो वाकया भी तो याद आया होगा, करबला पहुंचने पर किस तरीके से मेरे मौला शिशमाहे का लाशा हाथों में लिए जनाबे रुबाब की तरफ आगे बढ़ रहे हैं. इन्ना लिल्लाह व इन्ना इलैहि राजिऊन, रिवम कवाही व तस्लीम लिअम्रे, सात कदम आगे बढ़े सात कदम पीछे हटे. अब जो सकीना दौड़ी आई, बाबा मैं भी तो आपकी बच्ची हूं, असगर को पानी पिला लाए. रिवायत में ये मिलता है मेरे मौलाना बा का दामन हटा दिया. अब जो देखा तो चश्मा अली असगर का जनाजा है. जनाबे रुबाब जनाजे को ले लिया या अमिस्म का युनहार, अरे बेटा क्या तुझ जैसे बच्चे भी जमा किए जाते हैं.
ألا لعنة الله على القوم الظالمين وسيعلم الذين ظلموا أي منقلب ينقلبون. إنا لله وإنا إليه راجعون. إلهي بحق الزهراء وأبيها وبعلها وبنيها والسر المستودع فيها. الله پرچم اسلام کو سر بلند فرما، پرچم کفر و شرک و نفاق کو سر نگون فرما، انقلاب اسلامی کی حفاظت فرما، تمام علماء ربانیین، تمام مراجع کرام، بالخصوص رہبر انقلاب کا سایہ ہمارے سروں پر برقرار رکھ، تمام مجاہدین اسلام کی توفیق میں اضافہ فرما، تمام مومنین کی جان و مال و آبرو کی حفاظت فرما، تمام مومنین کی مشروع حاجات کو پورا فرما، تمام مومنین کو وظائف شرعیہ پر عمل کرنے کی توفیق عنایت فرما، پائلہ حبانیان مجلس کی مشروع حاجات کو پورا فرما، ہمیں اس وقت تک اس دنیا سے نہ اٹھا جب تک امام زمانہ ہم سے راضی نہ ہو جائیں، ان کے ظہور میں تعجید فرما، ہم سب کو ان کے انصار و اشیاء میں قرار دے. ربنا تقبل منا انك انت السميع العليم بجاه محمد و آله الميامين يا حسين.